not all goth kids, but today, these goth kids.
Just these goth kids. Yeah.
But Ben was like, hey, so when that started happening, I was very, very freaked out. Carla was not freaked out at all. She was happy and laughing. And that's when she says, lighten up, Ben. We've done this before.
Hi, Julia Mazzavalli.
Hello there, Patrick Hines.
What are we talking about today?
This is our 10th bonus episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to the bonus eps. This is a show, we've never done this before, but this is a show called Fatal Destination, season one, episode four. It's called Blood on Bourbon Street, and I watched this on Hulu.
An unsuspecting young man crosses paths with strangers. Strangers who feel like fast friends.
This story just sounded too fantastic.
She's like sitting there playing with the blood on the guy's face.
This isn't right.
You see that in Psychopaths.
A hotel room bears silent witness to a nightmare no one saw coming.
The housekeeper made the gruesome discovery.
It looked satanic, like it could be some sort of dark religious scene.
A neighbor heard a male voice shouting, I am God. And you are my servant. There's no explanation for it other than evil.
This takes place in New Orleans, one of my favorite cities. I love it so much. Everyone's got to get out of there, though. You can't live there anymore. There are so many warnings about how New Orleans is going to be swallowed up by the sea. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Are you serious?
Yes, Bradley, I know you watch this on YouTube. You need to get out of New Orleans.
Wait, my uncle lives down there. John!
They got to go. Bradley, John, find John and get out.
I'm going to call John.
It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I've had the most fun of my life in that town. But like, it's going to be swallowed by the sea.
Maybe he'll move back home to New York.
Oh, Bradley, move to New York.
I mean, and John.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We learn New Orleans is a 24-hour fun festival. It's an adult amusement park. Not everywhere can you get a drink at 5:30 in the morning.
Speak for yourself.
Exactly. Wait, you don't have a liquor cabinet?
Well, also, look, I love New Orleans very, very much. We also meet Sonny D. Funk. Hell of a name.
Who's that?
The assistant DA.
Oh, before we get to them, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
We got a narrator in this one. We got a narrator who was given a script and knows how to use it. Mm-hmm. She goes,
beneath the neon, there's an ever-present pulse, a dark heartbeat. In the twilight hours, hedonism merges with something more sinister.
Hedonism merges with something more sinister.
Pick one of those.
Jacqueline!
We're over and over.
I do love the use of the word hedonism.
That's great.
It's kind of sexy.
Yeah. That's that place, that famous resort, hedonism, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you're naked the whole time.
See, that's not for me. There's so many of those gay resorts where you go and you're naked the whole time. It's just not for me.
It's not for me either.
Because it's also just, like, I want to, like, go, like, I... it's not that I would even be self-conscious. I would just, like... It's too much.
It's too much, but also, like, can I just, like, wear the cute vacation clothes?
See?
The vacation clothes that, like, I would never wear in real life here. Can I just, like, do the vacation thing?
I remember the episode of The Golden Girls where they ended up at the nude resort and they had all their clothes on, but then they go to dinner naked and they're ashamed because at dinner we dress up.
Right. Health code violation.
Exactly.
Anyway, we're told it's a 24-hour party, especially on Bourbon Street, and it's all fun and games until it's not.
Until it's not. So July 19th, 2003... cops get a call about a deceased male in a courtyard by Marriott Hotel. Now, listen, this body was discovered by a housekeeper. And I said, I worked in hotels for like 8 or 9 years. Can we take a minute for the housekeepers who stumble upon these bodies probably more frequently than we would think?
Or any other thing?
Like, yes.
They really never know what they're walking into.
No.
Literally.
I mean, and if anyone's going to find the body, it's probably going to be the housekeeper because they're the ones, like, housekeepers, we see you. We know this is a thing in your job. Like, it's a fucking hard enough job as it is. And I'm so sorry to say it. Bring cash when you stay at a hotel because you got to tip these people.
Yes.
And not enough hotels give you the QR codes. The Kimpton hotels give you the QR code as an option to tip the housekeeping staff.
I'm sorry. Are people not tipping? I know tipping culture is out of control.
It is, but people don't tip anymore. Hotel staff, bellman, doorman, concierge, housekeeping.
That's wrong.
Nobody carries cash. And the hotels haven't given us another way to do it.
I carry cash. You know, you've seen me.
I know. Well, you
get
do.
Shit done
of
with
course.
Cash.
It's unreal.
It's
unreal. Yeah.
Having cash, cash is the thing.
I know. One time we got stranded in a city and she's like, do I have to buy a plane? She goes into her purse. She pulls out a wad of cash.
No, it was $20 for taxi. Yeah. And you and Natalie thought I was doing some sorcery. You were like, oh my God. I was like, hold on. You guys were like,
what is that green paper?
You were like ordering the car. And you're like, we can't do it. I said, can you hold on? There's a line of cabs right here. Give me a second.
I know.
And you were like, what? And I ran up to the guy and I was like, I have $40. Can you get us to this hotel? This is what we have. And he was like, yes. Took my money and ran.
Let the women do the work.
Anyway.
The victim was in a jacuzzi tub in the room. There was still water in the tub, which turned a very crimson red.
The victim had suffered severe trauma to the head.
Sean Johnson had severe head trauma, most likely from the broken glass bottle they also found at the scene.
When they drain the tub, they find like two champagne bottles. One is still intact, one is broken.
These bitches are heavy and thick.
Yeah, and we learned that Sean had multiple severe fractures to the skull. So they are pretty sure this is how he died.
And then just the rest of the room, like all of the pages were ripped out of the Bible and stuck to the walls?
They think, they go from zero to Satan pretty fast. Like, they think that this is some sort of occult murder that has taken place. Now, that's a pretty scary thing. For there to be a body in a tub and pages of the Bible, like, all right over the walls, that's a fucking terrifying thing.
I get it, but that's exactly what the killer wanted. Like, this is a cry for attention if I've ever seen one. Believe me, I've seen plenty.
And add to it, it's like New Orleans that has a spiritual vibe to it anyway. It's sort of like, what the hell is going on here? Girl, Salt and Stone is back. This is that deodorant that we've been screaming about for weeks now.
Yeah, it smells amazing. Yes. It's a total upgrade. It really smells like a luxury spa of your choice.
Somebody literally at the gym asked me what deodorant I was wearing the other day.
Yeah, people would like stop you in the street and they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Not even when I was putting it on. Like I was walking past them and they were like, what deodorant is that? Because it doesn't smell like anything out there. This will replace, if you wear cologne or perfume, this is going to replace all of that.
Well, exactly, because it smells that good that you can kind of take one of these and make it like a signature scent, and then you're like,
yes,
cutting out the middle person that is perfume.
Mine is the Santal. That's
my
one
favorite too.
I know. I was gonna try the others, and I've smelled them all, and they're all so good, but I don't want to switch.
The bergamot is good too, I will say.
You know what, fam? You can try them all because Salt and Stone's got this discovery set. They've got the four scents. They've got the Santal, the bergamot, the saffron, and the neroli.
Yeah, today they sell one deodorant every 5 seconds.
I believe it.
And they last for 48 hours. Come on.
So, fam, try Salt and Stone's discovery set to find your signature scent.
Go to saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout for 15% off your first order.
That's saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO for 15% off your first order.
Get ready to smell like a 5-star lobby.
Exactly.
Get into it.
You smell like a 5-star lobby.
You know? So let's talk about Sean Johnson.
They flash a picture on the screen. This man was beyond beautiful.
Had a really like welcoming face and smile.
He
you know,
was so handsome and his, yeah, the smile with the teeth.
Very
and
warm.
I literally gasped. I was like, he was so handsome. We meet Teresa, who was his girlfriend back then. They met in 2001 at a rock and Espanol show. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's just literally rock music with Spanish lyrics.
Love.
Like the most, I'm not saying it all sounds like this. I'm just saying like the most famous version. The most famous example would be like La Bamba.
Oh, ba-la-la-la-la-bamba. Right.
Again, they can sound punk rock, they can sound metal. I'm just saying.
That band was called Los Lobos.
Yes, exactly.
No, we grew up on that song.
It's like the most famous example I could pick.
Rock
music with Spanish, and like everyone knows, it's not like, can we translate this to English?
Yeah.
We're just like rocking out the way it's meant to be.
You know, Teresa tells us.
He had a very open and friendly vibe about him. This head of wild hair, which I loved, and we fell in love pretty quickly.
Cool car, cool hair.
Yeah, fell in love very quickly.
And then we meet Donner, who is Sean's best friend and like chosen family.
Yes.
And he says Sean was a blast to be around. And everything they're saying is like coming through from the photos that we see.
All I could think about was with Donner was that he grew up being made fun of for being named like one of Santa's reindeers, even though we all know it's Donder.
It's not.
It's Donder and Blitzen.
No, it's not.
It is. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Is it Donner?
It's Donner.
Isn't it Donder? Oh, no. Hang on.
Donder.
Santa's ring.
Oh, this is going to feel so good.
As if you're not used to being right all the time.
About the reindeer, girl?
Okay, hang on. Dasher, known for his incredible speed and leading the charge. Dancer, highly energetic and graceful. Prancer, known for his joyful leaps and bounds. Vixen, clever, playful, helps keep the sleigh on course. Comet, energetic and zooming across the sky with agility. Cupid, loving, friendly, and spreads joy. And Mistletoe.
Say it.
Donner.
Donner.
The thunderous powerhouse of the group.
Tell me about Blitzen.
Well, Blitzen's the lightning fast reindeer who ensures they stay on course. And then, of course, there's Rudolph, the shy latecomer who lights his way on foggy, stormy Christmas Eve.
I gotta tell you, I love the names of the reindeer.
They're great.
Blitzen, Vixen.
Dancer. He's
Dancer,
be
Prancer.
The gay one. Prancer. Prancer's the gay one. Prancer got his own movie.
They're gay together.
Prancer and Dancer. Prancer, there's a great Christmas movie called Prancer with Cloris Leachman, who was famously mean to me once. But it is a great Christmas movie.
Right.
Yeah. So like Don, like Prancer gets stuck in a town. They got to save him.
Have you been saying, how long have you been saying Donder?
Too long.
If you only said it this one time,
I know,
but it'll be too many times.
Said it with my full chest.
I know you did.
Like Don, like it's Donder.
That's why I said, go ahead.
Sometimes you know you're making the TikTok when it happens and it's not on purpose.
Justice for Donner.
Justice for, I can't even say it. Donner.
Where did Donder come from? We
Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Donder and cute. No, it's Donner?
Donder. I don't know where that, how very dare you? You call yourself a Christmas person. You
I
claim
know.
You love Christmas. You're listening to Christmas music in July. So
I know.
You claim.
Oh my God.
The real Christmas girlies know.
Well.
It's Donner.
I take it back.
Get ready for a lump of coal, girl. Donner's not going to take kindly to this. She's telling the big man.
Oh no.
Not okay, girl.
Oh my God. Well, Teresa says Sean knew no stranger. Everywhere he went was a potential new friend. Now this is great. Can be dangerous when you're traveling in a city full of hedonism by yourself.
It's just important to note.
Yeah.
We also just meet very briefly Quinn, who Sean's 8-year-old son. He was 8 years old at the time, but Quinn is here with us.
And Quinn's just saying,
some things I miss about my dad. You could always count on him for a good time. You never know what it was. Whether you wanted to do something crazy or stay in for the night or whatever.
Like, this kid loses his dad at 8 years old. It is absolutely horrible.
Sean was just, like, an intensely friendly, welcoming, creative, cool person.
Yep. And so they're saying, it's like, so what happened? So Sean, we know that New Orleans is, like, a convention town. We've done conventions there. Yeah. Sean was in New Orleans to work as a stagehand for a convention. He decided to stay a few extra days. Who wouldn't?
Seriously, I literally have that. And honestly, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Who's going to New Orleans on a work trip and not staying a few extra days?
No, come on. New Orleans is gorgeous.
It's insane. And this murder happened on his last night in the city.
So let's go back to the crime scene. The crime scene was very unsettling. We have those Bible pages everywhere. And there was also...
about the doll.
There's a creepy doll. It wasn't something you could buy in a store. Someone made it.
Yeah.
They made it as creepy as possible. They used human hair.
They said that like the doll had human hair. So just imagine this room. There's a poor dead man in the tub. There are Bible pages ripped out of the Bible all over the wall and this creepy fucking doll on the bed.
Yeah.
It's a Marriott. Like, my God.
It's the Marriott.
Justice for Mary, I forget Donder for a second.
It's like the cops are told that this is a familiar. I just want to slow down on this.
Okay.
We get like...
It was not familiar to me.
It's been in folklore for like actual centuries. It means a lot of things to a lot of different people. I'm not going to tell you like the real definition because it'll be wrong.
She's going to do a 2-hour after party and all they left out about the familiar.
Can you believe it? I won't give an official definition because anyone could be like, that's not how I see it. Great. Like do whatever. But it's essentially supposed to be like an assistant or like a companion that helps you do your like spells and magic and work.
But see, that's lovely. I think that that's great. If used for the forces of good, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it has many different definitions and forms, but the general idea is that it's sort of like a conduit or it like helps, helps out.
Can I tell him about Kurt?
Please. I have so much to say about Kurt.
Kurt Amaker is here. His lower third is a former member of the goth scene.
That lower third is the fucking best. Hilarious.
It's the best lower third, except for like whatever her name is, former friend.
Former friend.
Yeah.
Former member of the goth scene. Kurt, what happened? Well, and Kurt is now also here to white mansplain voodoo to us.
Yeah. He says that New Orleans has a connection to voodoo because the slaves coming over from Haiti who brought it as their religion.
Yeah. West African and Haitian slaves, like it's their culture, it's their religion.
Yeah.
They brought it over. It's okay. Thanks.
And like this too is like one of the detectives says
the city has a spiritual nature to it. People are attracted to the cemeteries and you get a sense that there are spiritual entities around you.
People are attracted to the cemeteries, and I gotta tell you, like, they are incredible.
They're gorgeous. I have to tell you, one beautiful one that's close to us, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh.
The Sleepy
Hollow. Do they look like these?
Cemetery is like sprawling. It's huge. There's this beautiful stream that goes through it. I had like a real moment near the water at that cemetery. It is stunning.
Is there really a, what's his name? Who's the one that becomes a headless horseman?
Ichabod Crane?
Yeah. Is he buried there?
I want to tell you something about Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Sleepy Hollow is built around a character, correct? Like a spooky.
Yeah,
like,
the headless horseman.
Right. So much like Salem, you know that a certain time of year is going to be your big time.
Yeah.
You kind of revolve around that certain time of
sure.
year.
Sure. It happens to be the same for both towns.
Right. And I've been to Salem during Halloween. I almost said Christmas.
Me too. I mean, I grew up right there. So
right.
Yeah.
And it's that time. But Sleepy Hollow, when Mike and I went like 2 falls ago, I remember this. Have you guys ever done Halloween before? Everyone was like very overwhelmed. It was everyone's first day on Earth.
Oh, wow.
Everyone, all the restaurants were like, there are more people coming. I'm like, it's October 15th.
It's Sleepy Hollow.
This is what you do. There are like statues everywhere. Like, we're all here for the events.
They are vigilantly looking for that guy with no head riding down the street on that black horse.
Like,
you know what I mean? They do a bigger fish. It's a fish fry.
But it's like, can you just do the thing?
I know.
That I came here to
That's
see?
That's disappointing.
Because it feels like, you guys know, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have, everything is like a little reference. It's like in Salem. Everything has a little reference to everything, no matter when you go. And I just felt a little bit, if you love Sleepy Hollow, tell me what I did wrong.
Well,
I'm sure it was me.
Like, Sleepy Hollow also has another, like, official name. Like, I feel like they didn't claim the Halloween stuff until, like, more recently.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
It was a little, I was kind of like, okay, it was fun, it was beautiful, it was folly, but it was kind of like,
not every town can have the Sanderson sisters. As much as,
ain't that the truth?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, another glorious morning makes me sick. That's me during the actual heat wave, 100-degree weather we're having in Manhattan this minute.
I know, it's very hot. Girl, did you know that 89% of dog parents consider their dog their best friend?
Yeah, feels low, but sure.
Fam, these people are obsessed with their dogs. And if anybody else is going to be obsessed with their dogs, it's Ollie.
Yeah, so they deliver fresh, human-grade food in 5 drool-worthy flavors. Mm. So your pup can live their best life. Like, why should you just eat human-grade food?
Well, get this. Ollie's fresh recipes are developed by real chefs with gut-friendly ingredients that support better digestion, energy, skin health, and poops.
Yeah, we gotta focus on the poops sometimes.
Listen, the poops are my whole life.
They have fresh beef.
Yes.
With sweet potatoes. They have fresh turkey with blueberries. That's like a well-balanced meal.
Yeah. And they've got this end-to-end experience. So from the moment you start your subscription, everything is tailored right to your pup. The meals are perfectly proportioned. You get a pup-tainer and a scoop for easy storing and serving, girl.
It is the cutest thing
in the world.
It's a pup-tainer. And you know what?
What?
I love it. These dogs deserve it.
It's true. Golden was a really finicky eater. And when we switched to the Ollie, really everything, including the poops, we saw a major improvement.
Well, because it's not processed. It's real. Like, you can eat it too if you want to.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
So fam, get ready for both you and your pup to be obsessed.
Head to Ollie.com/TCO. Tell them all about your dog and use code TCO to get 70% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus it's risk-free, fam, with their obsession guarantee.
That's OLLIE.com/TCO and enter code TCO to get 70% off your first box.
Ollie, feed the obsession.
How cute.
We love it, Ollie. So we're back to the hotel. Now, we get some information here. The guest in the room next to where Sean died comes forward with a terrifying story.
It was brought to our attention that a neighbor heard a loud bang and a male voice shouting, "I am God and you are my servant."
I am God and you are my servant.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
This always makes the killer sound like such a loser.
I know.
It always does the opposite of what they want it to do.
Yeah, you're
and I'm always
right.
like, wow, you are one pathetic loser.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're absolutely right.
Never does what they want.
That's well said.
And then when we meet these idiots?
These people are so dumb. Teresa says she thinks she knows what happened. That Sean was a super friendly guy. He was out for his last night on his vacation. He probably met a bunch of people out having drinks. Was like, hey, let's go back to my hotel room. I've got a jacuzzi.
Not the first time he's done that, probably.
No.
This is the kind of guy he is, we're told.
Right. But then it also looks like he was maybe killed in this like ritualistic fashion, even though Sean had no connection to the occult.
Right. So there's no actual forensic evidence for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's the room is described as sterile, no fingerprints, no hair, no anything.
It seems like it was either not thoroughly searched or wiped clean.
One or the other.
Yeah, because, like, no fingerprints.
But the CCTV come, and you could do that with gloves easily, I guess, but, like, no hair?
Right, and, like, these idiots didn't seem, it felt like a crime of opportunity, like, yeah. not like something that was premeditated, you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I don't know how there were no fingerprints.
But the CCTV comes to the rescue, kind of. Like, it actually yeah. works, and we have footage. I will take the win where I can get it.
Yeah, and it's good, too. Like, at first it's grainy, but then it gets better. So they go through hours of footage. They finally find 5:30 a.m. They see two men and two women come into the hotel with Sean. And one of the women has bright blonde hair. And all four were, quote, dressed in gothic attire.
Tell us all about it, Kurt, former member of the goth scene. Kurt, what happened?
It is just...
What happened?
Like, why did he leave the scene?
Well, why does he want to know, like, I'm a grown-up now?
Or, like, did the scene leave anymore? Him? I also love that our detective goes, I wasn't astute to the goth community, yeah. but they were dressed completely different than our victim.
Also, Kurt wants to tell us, these are all Kurt's words, so if you're goth and you live in New Orleans, I'm not speaking.
Yeah.
These are not my words, these are Kurt's. He says goth is and was a big scene in New Orleans.
It was just meant to be dark, kind of anarchic self-expression. People are attracted to the goth scene because they enjoy the macabre.
People in the goth scene enjoy the macabre.
I know.
Kurt, it's macabre.
Listen, I thought
maybe that's why they kicked you out.
I thought it was Donder until 5 seconds ago. Am I getting kicked out of Christmas
now? But as
now?
A goth? You know what? You were a Christmas girly.
I was. That's what I'm saying. I thought. Everyone makes macabre. It's Kurt's like doing the best he can.
Whatever,
Kurt. How did
they
find him? How did they get him for this
stuff? Right, like, are you a goth expert? Well, I used
totally.
To be.
Totally.
Just make sure you write former or else I'm not going to sit down.
Have you ever been a member of the goth scene in New Orleans? At us, at Dateline.
Like, that's what they used to do at the end of Jerry Springer.
Totally.
Like, ridiculous things. Like,
yep.
have you married your cousin and then cheated with your other cousin?
Totally.
Call us now. But Sean's friends say, like, none of this matters because Sean made friends with everybody.
Exactly.
So, like, you could say that there were a bunch of pastry chefs in the yes. room and they'd be like, yep, that tracks.
So, back to the CCTV footage. One of the people leaves after 45 minutes at 6:15 a.m. The other three people leave between 7:15 and 7:30, and this is consistent with the time frame that they believe Sean was killed.
And so they ask the public for help. And within 24 hours, they get it. Because the person who left at 6:15 a.m., the person who left this whole scene, goes to police.
And she's got quite a story. Her name is Kat. She comes in and she tells them, it all began in the French Quarter at a bar called The Dungeon. Kurt's going to tell us all about The Dungeon.
Well, Sunny Defunk says, dark, seedy, nasty, and skanky.
Dark
Sunny Defunk. I looked it up. Apparently, it's changed a lot since 2003.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you want to say the quote that Kurt, the former goth, says about it?
Because the place opened at midnight, it garnered this reputation as being kind of scary. They wanted it to be kind of a haven for misbehaving.
He says it with no irony.
Yeah, no. Kurt.
They wanted it to be a haven for the misbehaving. Kurt loved The Dungeon.
It's a place where people go to look for trouble, is what we're being told.
And Kurt, in the 90s, loved telling people that he hung out there, that it was his favorite bar. When people came to town, we got to go to The Dungeon.
Former goth. What is it? Former goth scene member?
Yeah, former goth scene
member. Former member of the goth scene.
I love it.
Kurt.
I need a hat that just says former member
like,
of the goth
because
scene.
It's so funny to me because, like, it was such a choice.
Yes.
It was so, yes. it's so deliberate.
Kurt,
why?
How would you like to be credited for this episode?
Former member.
member of the goth scene?
Like, what?
I know. So 2:50 a.m., the night of the murder, according to Kat, Sean is there. He stands out, quote, because of his wrinkled jeans and casual button down, but the other four are all in black, head to toe, and our narrator, piercings glinting under the dim lights.
And I'm also not saying, I want to just, like, correct something I said, that it's a place where people go to look for trouble. I also think if you're in New Orleans for one night, like, yeah. where do I go? People are telling you go to The Dungeon.
Oh, totally.
So I'm not saying yeah. Sean was looking for trouble. Sean was going to the place that everyone's talking about.
Right, no,
that's
for sure.
Valid,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So Kat says she didn't know the other three goth kids on the footage. Like, they all met at The Dungeon. Like, the other three goth kids are together.
Yeah.
Sean joins the party. Kat joins the party. Like, Sean and Kat are the new people here.
But also, like, she's able to give the cops these people's names.
However, multiple members of the goth community went by nicknames or street names. So she was only able to identify their nicknames.
She's able to give the cops these people's names, but only their street names. So the blonde woman, she goes by Never.
Her boyfriend is Worry.
And then there's Benjamin the Tagalong.
And Peggy.
I mean, yes.
He's
Junie.
I'm like, Ben doesn't get a stupid try-hard nickname?
I know.
Like, what happened, Ben?
Ben, I also love that they call him the Tagalong individual.
Like, Ben is getting no
Maybe
love
Maybe my t-shirt will say Tagalong individual.
It's like, oh, individual, let me dress alike, like the same, like you're an individual.
Yeah.
But you're
a tag-along individual.
You're a tag-along.
Kurt also takes a minute to tell us here that New Orleans is a place where you come to remake yourself, but definitely as a criminal.
Okay, like we can do it. Can we not shit on New Orleans, a beautiful city that is close to my heart?
You also know that Kurt lives nowhere near New Orleans anymore.
Yeah, like when'd you move there, Kurt?
Oh, right, exactly.
Where do you live now? When do you catch your flight back to Duluth, Kurt?
Duluth is great.
Right, but Kurt probably lives there.
Kurt probably lives there.
Kurt is giving, I'm no longer in the scene. I maybe never was. Please don't white mansplain voodoo to me.
Listen, couldn't agree more. Kurt. Sean was buying rounds of drinks for his new friends.
He's the life of the party. He's footing the bill.
But the cops tell us that, like, well, the friends thought Sean was loaded. So they're letting him think that, like, they want to hang out. Really, they want to figure out a way to rob this guy.
And so in the we see a little bit of the transcript.
Yeah.
Kat doesn't want to go. She's like, just met these people. But the guy never, or the girl never, pretty much, like, dragged her and was, like, dragging her hand down the sidewalk.
She doesn't want to be the only girl with this crazy guy, what's his name? Danger?
Worry?
Yeah.
And so Kat is like, you know what? I'm like, I'm an adult. I could have pulled away if I really wanted to, but I kind of let her drag me.
Yeah. And so when the bar closes,
Sean wanted to continue the party. So he brought the party back to his hotel room.
He wanted to fill up the jacuzzi tub and take a champagne bath. And he invited these individuals to be part of that celebration.
Sean invites them all back to his hotel room. He's like, I got a hot tub. I want to fill up with champagne.
Right.
Sean is my people.
Sean is the party.
But these guys want to, I mean, maybe they actually just want to kill him, but they like want to rob this guy. That's why they're going back with him.
And they're letting things continue, right? So like clothes are starting to come off.
So, okay, hang on a second. This becomes a real party. Like,
and Kat leaves immediately.
Yeah.
This is when Kat's like, I'm out.
Because Sean is like, Sean gets naked and starts pouring the champagne into the hot tub. And we'll get more later, but like, he gets in, the girl is in, whatever her name is. What's her name? Worry? Never.
Never.
Her name is Never. Kat takes off. Sean and Never are in the champagne-filled hot tub. They start making out.
Right. And like when Kat goes to leave, Never says you're going to miss out on all the fun. And Kat's like, I don't think this is fun. I'm leaving.
It's like so Manson family. Like it feels so weird.
It's very uncomfortable. But now we're heading to Florida.
Yeah.
6 days after Sean's murder. And your best friend, the voiceover person, is like 700 miles from the chaos that is New Orleans. As if Florida is known for being this quiet little corner.
Totally.
Where nothing chaotic ever happens.
I'm saying this not as a joke. Alligators are literally dragging people into the sea.
I know.
It's unbelievable. Like
I don't think they're in the sea, but yeah.
No, they are. Two in the ocean. One was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. There's a river that leads into the ocean, but the alligator came out of the ocean.
From
dragged a man into the ocean. There was another ocean attack. I think the kid lived, but the alligator came out of the ocean in Florida.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Like on the beach?
Yes.
I have to look into this. I haven't heard of this.
And look at the one in Mexico because it came out of the ocean and you can see the alligator.
I've definitely seen idiots who are like going on nature walks in the fucking bayou swamp and they're like, look at that gator. He's a growling.
Nope.
He's a snarling. And
he's
I'm like,
a growling.
I'm like,
he's a snarling.
Or
I know.
Like, here's a mom. Let's get closer to see all of her babies.
No.
She's an 800 pound dinosaur, literally prehistoric.
Who like her only instinct is to death roll.
Leave the animals
alone. Out of there.
I know they're fascinating. Yeah. I totally get it. Leave them alone. You know my other obsession these days?
Tell me.
The Amazon rainforest.
Why?
Because it is amazing and deathly.
Did you just discover it?
No, I've always known about it. I just
it's been there for a long time.
It's been there, like,
in fairness to my question.
Like,
yeah.
It's definitely been there, but I've been going down this rabbit hole about like what it's like, the sounds at night.
Oh.
And there's so much of it that's not discovered. And there are so many species that we haven't discovered. And there are probably tribes there that we haven't seen or touched.
Listen, I'm so sorry. I have to put a stop to this. Okay. We need you doing the genetic genealogy.
I'm not going
to
go.
You can't go be an anthropologist in the Amazon. We need you doing the other
stuff.
There
are way too many spiders.
But truly.
But they, like, everything will kill you. There's something, yeah, they're, like, but
like
it's so
the plants
vicious.
Will kill you.
Yes, and there's so much of it that's nocturnal because, like, it comes alive at night. The sounds are unbelievable.
Can we get a shot of her face? You are so excited.
It is so cool and creepy and scary, and, like, just respect them, leave them alone. But because the trees are so dense, that, like, sunlight doesn't even touch, like, a big percentage of it.
Yes.
And it's just, like, as big as America or almost close to as big as the United States. There are so many undiscovered species. It's dangerous AF. AF.
This is wild. Did you watch a documentary on this or something?
I've just like watched some things on it. I don't know. It's a hyperfixation of the time. And this is coming out like this is June 30th. God knows what my next thing will be. It'll probably still be the Amazon rainforest because there's so much to discover.
I need you doing an ad for the Amazon rainforest. There's so much to discover.
Like so much of it. So
wild.
Much of it.
Wild.
And the sounds. I know. And the animals.
I know. We got to keep going.
I know. Everything will kill you. It's the coolest.
I know.
It's the coolest. It's the coolest.
I know.
Eels, giant eels. It's the coolest. Anacondas.
Yeah, I know. I want to talk about it forever.
They're huge.
Fam, hers is back. Look, if you've tried everything to lose weight this summer and you're still feeling stuck, this summer can still be different. Weight Loss by Hers is designed to support you in reaching your goals with access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen.
And the whole thing about Hers is that they make it as easy as possible. So everything is 100% online.
Yes.
You connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. That's very important. And if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary.
And this is key. It doesn't just stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering 24/7 messaging with your care team with tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. I gotta tell you, access to the actual like healthcare provider to ask the questions if you're beginning your GLP-1 journey.
Totally.
Essential.
And you have to be talking to them. Should I be doing this? Am I going up? Am I going down?
I had so many questions when I started.
You have to do it.
So fam, are you ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/TCO to get personalized, affordable care that gets you.
That's forhers.com/TCO.
Forhers.com/TCO.
Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Girl, ButcherBox is back. Look, are you like us? Have you ever opened your fridge, stared at it for 5 minutes, and convinced yourself that there's nothing to eat?
I used to, but not anymore.
No, because this is where ButcherBox comes in. Because ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed beef, organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more, all sourced to standards they can actually tell you about. They've already done the research and made the tough sourcing decisions, so all you have to do is decide what's for dinner.
Yeah, and every box is customizable, which is the best part. So you can choose the cuts and proteins that fit your routine, or if you're having a party or a get-together.
We get all steak, chicken, and fish. We are having filet mignon tonight, girl, from our butcher box.
Get out.
I know. And I gotta tell you, the salmon, I don't like love salmon, but I've never had a piece of salmon from butcher box that I didn't devour. Daisy, too.
It is super fresh.
Yes.
You don't have that like, oh, is this kind of fishy? Is this not safe? Like, it's so good. And it also makes a great gift, everyone, just saying.
Oh, truly. I always love it when the butcher box comes from. So, fam, if you're looking for an easier way to get great meals on the table, give butcher box a try.
Go to butcherbox.com/TCO to get $20 off your first box, plus your choice of free ground beef for life or free chicken thighs.
Oh!
Four top sirloins in every box for a year with free shipping always.
My goodness, that's butcherbox.com/TCO.
Again, that's butcherbox.com/TCO.
Be sure to use our link so they know we sent you.
There you go.
Well, the cops need to figure out who the other...
Yeah, let's go back to the serene universe that is Florida,
totally. But the cops need to figure out who the other people are. But they're pointing out that, like, all of these other three people were basically in costume. They could have, like, thrown those clothes off and vanished into the night.
Right. So we're in Florida with Detective Bill.
Yeah.
And he tells us about this woman named Carla Fry, who tells us an absolutely horrifying story.
Her story was that she and her boyfriend had been kidnapped by a very large white male, and she said he had transported them to Bradenton, Florida. Her story was that after being sexually assaulted, she escaped.
Carla, against all odds, escapes.
Yep.
She thinks her boyfriend's right behind her. No.
Nope. Here's a gunshot, turns around, the boyfriend's on the ground, but she's able to flag down a car and get herself to the hospital.
I mean, unbelievable.
Carla, what a story of survival.
Unbelievable. The victim advocate at the hospital says that Carla's telling the truth and is legit and everything is awful.
The doctor's like, unfortunately, there's absolutely no sign of any sexual assault whatsoever.
We need victim advocates to actually be victim advocates because now I'm fucking pissed because you don't lie about shit like that.
I know.
So we need to get to a point where we believe victims, but we also believe reality.
Yes. No, I
don't lie about this shit.
But
I'll send you to the rainforest with the anaconda.
And now we got a place to send
you. Don't do it.
Now we know where you're going. Don't fuck with her. Do not fuck with
her. I'm sure they're hungry.
Yeah, no, totally. But so the detective confronts Carla with this, and she quickly admits that she and her boyfriend concocted the story so that she could get treatment for a possible urinary tract infection.
This doesn't make any sense.
Carla!
So the cops confront her, and they're like, you're lying about about this shit, which makes you a vile person. And she's like, yeah, I absolutely made it all up, but I just need a treatment for a UTI.
Why would you do that?
And it's like, well, now I really don't believe you or anything else that you're going to say.
No, and Detective Waldron's like, we need to find out what's going on here. So he asked her her boyfriend's name, but she only knows him by his street name. What is that?
So she claims. But right. Guess what his street name is? Worry. Right. So Carla is never, and yeah. He's Worry, but she claims she doesn't know his actual name.
And they're never in Worry, like, never Worry, get it? We start to see pictures.
But no, I don't.
No, I know, exactly.
It is a stupid, stupid thing.
We see pictures of her, and she reminded me so much of, like, the Manson women. Like, remember that, like, Jody was Snake, but then Mary was Mercy? Remember they all got to, like, pick their own names?
Yeah, why would you want to be known as Worry? And if you're into all of that, like, you don't want to call yourself Worry because then you're bringing all that shit onto you.
Right, and this is New Orleans. Like, we know that shit is real.
Please let his name be Sheldon.
I know.
Arnold.
What was the one from that?
Wilbur.
The one I kept getting wrong. The one.
Delbert.
There were people
in, like, our comments and Discord and Facebook being like, I have a good Delbert in my family. Oh. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you, good Delbert.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, his name has to be Sheldon.
Right.
Please, please, please.
So Detective Waldron is like, wait, tell me again how you ended up in Florida.
She told me the same story. But this time, Carla said she and her boyfriend had witnessed this murder in this New Orleans hotel room.
She's like, oh, and by the way, we totally witnessed a murder in New Orleans. Is that anything?
And now, because Florida calls New Orleans and they're like, hey, is this anything? Like, this girl is a liar, but has there been a murder in the hotel room? And New Orleans is like, yes. And the person you're calling about is one of the people we're looking for. And Florida's like, heard, BRB.
Totally. But they keep that from Carla or whatever her name. They keep it from Worry. And Florida is like, we want to lock her into a story so that when New Orleans eventually arrests her, she will have admitted to this murder.
That they can use against her later. And I'm like, you know what, Detective Bill? I appreciate the candor.
100%.
These people are murderers because he goes, I have to lock Carla into a story that I can use against her later.
Exactly.
And I'm like, ooh, okay.
So they get her talking. She's like telling everyone all about the dungeon. Sean's buying the drinks, offers to take the group back to his room.
All of this we know.
All of this we know. Carla gets in the hot tub with Sean. Out of nowhere, according to Carla, Worry grabs the champagne bottle and hits Sean in the head with it, quote, more than once.
Worry, like, I'm calling him her stupid boyfriend in my notes.
Yeah, totally.
But then, like, her stupid boyfriend kills Sean.
Holds him under the water.
Like, what?
I
know. And Carla, of course, though, is totally, totally innocent.
Right. She says she has nothing to do with it. She says that Worry arranged transportation to get them out of New Orleans right away.
Whatever that means.
And that's how they end up in Bradenton, Florida, which is where the stupid boyfriend grew up.
But then she lies about being raped and kidnapped and essentially hands herself over to police.
I really
you idiot.
Don't, like, is our healthcare system that broken? I know the answer is yes.
Right.
That you have to fake a rape to get treated for a UTI?
I don't know.
Out of the context of everything else, that really says something.
I'd also love to hear from the doctor who was like, she was not assaulted. Did she have a UTI?
You know what? It's not our business.
Now it is. Okay. She's a fucking murderer, and she already lied about, like, what else are you lying about?
Yeah.
But now she's protecting the stupid idiot boyfriend.
Who she says is nowhere to be seen. He's already fled. I was watching this again today. He wrote her, like, a Dear John note on a waitress's little, like, notepad from a restaurant. Bye.
And the cops are like, oh, that's fine. We're absolutely still charging you with murder, totally. Carla. Like, we'll get him eventually. Don't you worry. But, like, haha, don't worry. But he should be worried.
Don't worry, Worry.
But
never worry.
But we're definitely charging you with murder also.
Carla Fry was being charged with murder in the first degree. That's an extremely serious charge. But there was no emotion, no crying, no remorse for what happened.
She doesn't give a fuck. There's no emotion on her face at all when she's charged with first-degree murder.
Yeah, and she's not even a good actress about her own story, which is allegedly that she, like, saw a murder.
Right.
She's not even freaked out about that.
No. So now the cops have to find Worry and Ben, street name Ben.
The other guy.
The other guy.
And Peggy.
Yeah.
They're literally like, and the other guy, Ben.
Yeah, so the New Orleans detective, he's like, the fact that these idiots can, like, commit a murder and not even know each other's names.
I mean, yeah, Kat got the hell out of there. So
yes.
Because she just met them.
And she was not there for the murder. She left before that happened.
Right, because she was like, this is, like, I'm getting very
bad. Once everyone started disrobing and getting in the bathtub full of champagne, Kat was like, I'm out of here.
I'm out. Well, let's talk about Ben. His name is Benjamin Anthony. This is 9 days after the murder. He works at a fancy restaurant in the French Quarter.
They say that they just, like, figure out who he is, and they just go to his apartment, and he's like, yep, I totally helped kill that guy. guy in the bathtub. And like, he just gives himself up.
His apartment is super depressing.
Yeah.
One of the cops is like, I mean, this is clearly someone without a purpose in life.
Yeah, that is sad. But he worked at a fancy restaurant. And for like, as a person who worked in restaurants for decades and decades, it's hard to get a good job at a fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
So like, I don't get Ben's life. Like, he's such a loser that he's living in this like dingy apartment with no purpose in life, but he's working in some fancy restaurant in the French Quarter, which, by the way, I've been to fancy restaurants in the French Quarter. These servers know the menu inside and out.
Right.
They know the wine list. Like, this does not comport that he was like some random loser, but also worked at a fancy restaurant.
I buy that. I think you're gonna have a great job and hate your life.
Yeah, I guess.
I think he was lost. He maybe like didn't, I'm gathering that he like didn't have a ton of friends and these people sort of like scooped him up and he was miserable, but like maybe kind of into this world and not. But like, I totally buy that you can have a great fast paced job or whatever at a fancy place and still go home.
It's just hard to know a wine list. You know what I mean? Like, people who know, like, I used to work at a steakhouse. My friend Steven, to this day, can, like, he can sell you, like, you're looking at a $40 bottle of wine, he'll sell you a $120 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It's, and he'll know.
Sorry, Steven, I'm taking the $40 screw top.
So sorry. You know, they call it a Stelvin closure. And they,
what is that?
A Stelvin closure is the screw top on top of the wine. It's literally called a Stelvin closure. And because there's, like, the theater to opening a bottle of wine, when I worked at a steakhouse, they came up with a way to unscrew the screw top wine in like a fancy manner, so it would have the same theater as opening a fancy bottle of wine with like that wine key or whatever.
You know what gets the oohs and ahs out of me?
What?
Like tableside guac.
Oh.
I don't really care about opening the bottle.
I worked at a different place. They did tableside steak tartare. That's fancy.
Well, there's not much to it, right?
Well, I guess not, but kind of. It's like you got to chop up the meat and then you got to mix in the egg and the Worcestershire sauce and the mustard and the capers.
They did that when Mike and I were in Tijuana and we went to the place that invented the Caesar salad and they make it for you.
What do the kids say? Mad respect. Like, a place that invented one of my top five favorite foods, invented the Caesar salads, hold the anchovies, thank you so much.
Oh, no, we did.
Hold them.
There's no way Mike's doing that.
If I see I was once out to dinner with our dear Natalie, and my Caesar salad came with anchovies on top, and I put my hands up like an asshole. Yeah. I couldn't even look at it.
Well, a lot of people are going to tell you, well, too bad, girl, they're very chopped up or blended into the dressing.
That's fine.
I don't need them.
On top.
Absolutely. Like a fucking sardine.
What is
like
the difference?
In The Burbs, where Tom Hanks has one of the best moments ever, where he's like sneezing, eating the sardine on the pretzel. Sardine. Anyway, point is, we're with Ben. Ben tells the cop, he hangs his head in defeat immediately. He was like, I'll tell you everything.
And there's got to be some relief. When you're involved in a murder and you're just like a regular person who was in the wrong place at the wrong time and did a really bad thing, I'm sure there is some relief in being like, I got caught. I don't have to hide. I don't have to go on the lam. I can like confess my sins now.
And he does.
Yeah.
You know, and he says,
he confirmed that it was him that took the Bible pages out and was throwing them up on the wall. Nothing nefarious to that. Just him being bored. Sean and Never were getting a little too comfortable with each other in the tub.
Carla and her stupid boyfriend, I'm not calling them their goddamn loser names, were like being weird, and he was like bored and just trying to distract himself, ripping out pages from the Bible and sticking them in the wall.
That is really weird, though. That's a weird thing to do when you're bored, to like rip up a Bible. Not that I have any reverence for the Bible, but like to rip up a Bible and then just like to be the weirdo that's like putting the Bible verses on the, that's, I get that there's nothing behind it, but it's still fucking weird.
Well, you're doing it to cause a reaction.
Uh-huh. And you're like, getting it right now, Ben.
And whether you believe in it or not, it is still a sacred book.
Yeah.
It's like any other religious book. I'd be like, oh, I'm not like ripping that
up. I totally agree.
But they're doing it. That's like creepy, or supposed to be creepy. And I'm like, well, you're doing it to like get a reaction.
It's also like Ben and Sean get naked and get in the champagne tub. And then whatever her name is gets naked and gets into. This is a party.
This is a party.
Like in another life, a single me is in New Orleans meeting people at the dungeon and getting naked in the champagne hot tub when I get home. Sounds fun.
Well, unfortunately, though, this is not the fun kind. Because what happens...
This is very much the opposite.
This is the worst. Because, like, Sean, our victim, and, like, Carla are getting, according to Ben, quote, a little too comfortable in the hot tub.
They're making out in the hot tub.
And the boyfriend, Carla's boyfriend, is like in a jealous rage. I'm like, what did you think was going
to
happen?
I bet this idiot was like, we're just going to take him back to the room and rob him. Like, maybe. But also, it feels like part of the plan, distract him
right.
by like getting in the hot tub and we'll rob him. Like, the killing feels very crazy, spur of the moment.
I wonder what substances the goth kids were on is a question.
At the dungeon at 3 a.m.
Right.
Girl, Rula is back. I love Rula. Look, I've been in therapy forever. I love it. But finding a therapist is hard enough, not to mention finding one who actually takes your insurance. And that's where most online therapy platforms fall short. Many don't work with the insurance at all, which means you're stuck paying the full out-of-pocket cost or paying for an expensive monthly subscription.
Yeah, so Rula does things a little bit differently.
Yep.
They partner with over 100 insurance plans, which makes the average copay just $15 per session. Really think about that.
Yeah.
There are some people out there charging hundreds of dollars for an hour, 45 minutes.
Totally. And the thing about Rula, it's not just affordable. The experience is tailored to you. So other online therapy platforms might match you with the first available provider, whether they're the right fit or not. But Rula considers your goals, preferences, and background to provide a curated list of licensed in-network therapists who actually align with what you need. Getting the right therapist is the most essential part of therapy.
I could not agree more. And it's okay to shop around.
It is okay to shop around. Fam, thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance.
Visit Rula.com/TCO to get started.
That's Rula.com/TCO.
You deserve mental health care that works for you, not against your budget.
Yeah, get that in-network care, girl.
Duh. So this is when the super boyfriend starts screaming, I'm your God, you are my servant. To, again, I say, what a goddamn loser.
So, and holding Sean under the water. Champagne.
Also, not all goth kids, but today, these goth kids.
Just these goth kids.
These goth kids.
Yeah.
But Ben was like, hey, so when that started happening, I was very, very freaked out. Carla was not freaked out at all. She was happy and laughing. And that's when she says, lighten up, Ben. We've done this before.
Ben gets out of there. He confirms that that creepy doll on the bed belonged to Carla and that she was really upset that she left it behind.
She has a meltdown, totally fine about a murder.
I know.
Losing her, but she loses her shit over a creepy homemade doll. Probably more about the fact that it was evidence.
Yes.
But still, like, they're out of their fucking minds. I honestly don't care why she was having a meltdown. It tells you everything you need to know.
And
also, lying about rape also tells you a lot too.
Insane. And it cuts back to Teresa, who's Sean's girlfriend. And she's like, just a reminder.
Sean did not have a malicious bone in his body. And I think it was inconceivable to him that anybody would want to do him harm. Sean was attacked from behind, and he never saw it coming.
Sean didn't have a malicious bone in his body.
No!
The reason they're all in that room is because he just, like, wanted to continue the party. He just wanted to, like, have friends over.
He had one free night in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He went to the bar that everyone was telling him, if you want, like, a fun, kind of debaucherous, like, haha, fun night,
yeah,
head to this bar. He meets these kids. They're excited. Whatever.
Right.
Like, he was just trying to, as Tim Riggins would say from Friday Night Lights, as I'm wearing the shirt, he's just trying to make some memories, man.
Yeah.
He's just trying to make some memories.
He just wants to fill a champagne full of hot tub and get naked with some strangers.
Who doesn't? What does that feel like, I wonder, to be in a bunch of bubbles? Like, those kinds of bubbles?
I've been really thinking about this. I think that it's great for a minute, and then it's probably very sticky.
But you also need a lot of champagne. I guess the hot tub was on, and they're, like, pouring the champagne.
I get it.
You can't fill a hot tub with champagne. You need, like, 20 bottles.
You would need like 20 bottles. And that's what I was imagining it was. I just think that you get out and you definitely need a shower. Like, it's a sticky situation.
That should be a good little rule of thumb anyway.
I think
when you're
so
getting
too.
Out of a bath, or a jacuzzi, you need a shower afterwards.
After just a regular bath?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't.
We all have different rules we live by.
Because how do you get the suds off you?
Well, I don't usually take like a bubble bath.
Then what are you doing?
You're just
sitting in like tepid water?
No, hot water. Like when I take a bath, it's always in the cold weather. And I sometimes, like after biking home from our recordings in the winter, I'll have to fill up the bathtub and get in it just to be
like
warm.
Like you're an athlete?
Totally.
What? You're just sitting in hot water with
yeah,
no
just
sun
like
or
relaxing.
Anything?
I don't get many moments of relaxation. Like a big pool of hot water and you just lay in it for a while. You do some scrolling. You have a bourbon.
Get yourself some lavender bubbles, girl.
I know. My friend Adam did actually send me a bubble bath called Blanche.
Oh, fun.
From the Golden Girls. And I did use that until it was gone.
Get a bath bomb. Get something.
That does sound nice.
But then you're all like,
well, and then
you
need
a shower.
Need a shower, for
yeah,
sure.
Of course.
All right, we're
and you're just
page.
Like sitting in water.
Yes.
So if it's been like a long day,
I
you
know.
Gotta actually like clean yourself.
Okay.
But get the lavender bubble bath.
Someone's got a lot of rules about the bathtub. Okay.
wait till you open your DMs when this comes out.
I know.
Look at the Facebook comments saying,
I know,
all of everyone's opinions about, but people are very,
I just feel lucky at this advanced age of my life to have a bathtub. Like, I'm just grateful to have
very
a bathtub.
Nice. And I'm not like a big bath person. I'm not an expert on this. Other people have more things to say. I'm just saying I would be like, oh, I have to actually.
Now we have
like,
to bathe.
I have to like actually
especially
take a
if
shower
it's
now.
Full of shampoo.
Now we have to bathe 100%.
Yeah. But Ben says after leaving the hotel, they all go back to the French Quarter and like go their separate ways. And like, this is when Worry and Danger, whatever his name is, like get in the van and go to Florida.
Ben insists he was terrified of Carla and Worry, two strangers he'd met that night. As the only witness to Sean's savage murder, Ben was convinced he'd be the next victim.
Ben is now terrified because he knows what they're capable of. And he thinks that they're going to kill him because he's a witness and he's not into this at all. And he's scared and they were not. And they're like, oh, we've done this before.
Yeah. And Ben also gets charged with the murder. Like, I thought that was a little bit of a lot. Like, it, you know, we, and I guess to the, in the cop's defense or whatever, like they don't really know who did what in the bathtub.
Right. So maybe let's not charge everyone with the murder. Like, I mean, that can go both ways, right?
Yeah. So Ben is charged. Like, he's also, Carla's been charged with first-degree murder. Ben is charged with first-degree murder. Now they got to find that idiot.
Yeah, and they're like, where is Worry? Because he should be, wait for it, worried.
Yeah.
So he was last seen in serene, perfect, super calm Florida, where nothing chaotic ever happens.
Yeah, exactly.
He's plastered all over the news. There's a press release about him. Within hours, they get his name. It's disappointing. His name is Chris M. Lane.
Because he was involved.
Not Sheldon, not Wilbur.
Not Sheldon, not, yeah.
You know?
But he was involved in some home invasion. They also tell us that he was, like, accused of robbing his mother. And I'm like, was the mother the home invasion?
Yeah, he is accused of robbing or suspected of robbing his own mother's house.
Maybe the mother is a piece of shit.
I mean, that's very likely.
You know what I mean?
You know?
But, like, oh my God.
Right. Well, everyone's looking for this loser.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Florida. He's officially a fugitive. And after a few days, we get a tip. I'm sorry. Oh my God, we get a tip that Chris is at Denny's. And I'm like, of course he is.
He's getting the Rudy Toots.
Goth kids love 24-hour spots like Denny's.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Like, not all goth kids, but a lot of goth kids just love sipping their coffee.
And I...
at a 24-hour joint like
Denny's. I apologize. Denny's is the moons over my hammy. Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity is the IHOP.
I wasn't going to say it.
And also I love a Denny's. Like, I really, really love it. Denny's has everything you could ever want.
Right.
You know?
Like, goth kids sitting in a big booth sipping their black coffee, so annoyed that the theater kids just came from their closing night
of
fucking Oklahoma.
Yep. No, right? Truly. Yeah.
Anyway, so they arrest him, and now he tries to act like he knew this was about to happen. Like, oh, like he's such a loser.
Like, he saw all the cop cars in the parking lot or whatever.
Right. And he, even in his version, he's like trying to like gas himself up. He's like, we were partying. I personally drank by myself like 3 bottles of champagne. I'm like, cool story, bro, you fucking loser.
Like, whatever. Sean, he's saying Sean invites them all back to the room. Never and Sean get in the hot tub. He says he's on the couch and that he falls asleep. And the next thing he knows, Ben is waking him up being like, that girl hit that guy with the champagne bottle and we got to go.
Right. So
Chris's story is that Never, the woman, is the one who actually beat Sean over the head with the champagne bottle.
Because Chris was so drunk.
So
he just can't do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let's bail. And that's it. And I'm like, well, where is Carla in this story? Like, the story just does not make any sense.
And nobody believes him.
No.
Chris Lane is arrested for the murder of Sean Johnson. Benjamin takes a plea deal, pleading to accessory to murder, so he only gets 4 years here.
And he testifies against Carla.
Yeah, which, by the way, takes 2 years for Carla's case to get to trial.
Defense attorney was able to convince a jury that Carla was somewhat of a victim herself, regardless of the evidence that we had against her. The jury thought that, you know, there was a possibility that she was victimized by an abusive boyfriend, Chris Lane, even though she participated in the murder of Sean Johnson.
And the jury believes her. Mm-hmm. She gets the lesser charge of negligent homicide. She gets 5 years. She gets 5 years. And, like, we know that her and the boyfriend cooked up this plan to rob this guy, and this is what resulted in his murder. And she gets 5 years for it. Bullshit.
Maybe I'm just reaching, but, like, what if she... Because they mentioned that, like, he was an abusive guy.
Yeah.
So what if... I'm thinking, if she made up the story, oh, no, I was raped, like, please talk to me. But she didn't confess anything. She's not like, help me, my boyfriend's a murderer. Like,
right.
She still just kept lying.
I know.
So I don't even think that that's a true story. Like, could he be an abusive asshole? But she also kept her mouth shut about the murder.
Right.
And so did you, Ben.
Where do we draw the line on that? Like, Ben gets 4 years. She gets 5 years.
And there's also zero forensic evidence against these people, which I think is crazy. crazy.
Yeah.
Because they are idiots.
I mean, there is like the video of them like going into the room with him, I guess. And then next thing we know, he's dead.
Right. And Kat is the only one who left before. So yeah. She really didn't have a part in it. And she told the cops everything.
And everyone in the room's got a different story. So we'll never really know for sure exactly what happened.
I do know that she has no remorse and she doesn't give a shit about anybody but herself. Like, she does not feel like an abused woman who's scared and is looking for help. She was laughing.
Right.
Even her version of the story, she wasn't like, oh, I'm traumatized because I witnessed a murder and I need help. Like,
no,
she was fine with everything.
These are very, very sick people.
Yeah.
So 3 years later, Chris Lane pleads guilty to manslaughter and robbery and gets 45 years. So, like, no one ever ends up getting charged or convicted of murder in this case.
Yeah. And like, this is all the, like, Sean's friends and family just say, like,
Sean was such a bright light in the world. We need more people like Sean. We really do.
I do not speak of those who have passed in the past tense because Sean still is a son. He still is a father.
This is such a tragedy. All Sean wanted to do was meet people and have fun and like spread his good vibes.
Yes.
And these people had to be assholes and ruin it like assholes always do.
Yes.
I do have updates.
Oh.
In 2013, Chris Lane killed himself in prison.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he was serving 45 years. So, you know, 5 to 7 years after he was in prison, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Kills himself. In 2023, Carla, because she only got 5 years.
Yeah.
So Carla, in 2023, Carla was arrested for stealing a fire hydrant with some other idiot boyfriend of hers.
Stealing a fire hydrant?
And then later that year, she was arrested after her kid brought drug paraphernalia to school.
Oh my God. God.
Keep it up, Carla. You're doing great.
You're really doing us all proud, girl.
My God.
And no word on Ben. He's right now.
I couldn't
now,
find like, anything on Ben. Ben Anthony is a hard name to Google.
Yeah.
I couldn't find much. I think he probably rightly is like staying out of trouble and maybe, hopefully got himself some help. And I don't know, but I couldn't find anything on him.
Oh my God, girl, we did Fatal Destination Blood on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, season 1, Ep. 4. This is our 10th bonus episode of the year so far. We still got plenty coming your way.
We do. We've got, 12 more?
Something like that. I wouldn't worry about it. But
yeah,
we just got plenty.
You're absolutely right. We just episode after episode after episode.
The hits just keep on coming.
All right, fam, we love you. That's it. Get out of here.
We love you. Please stay safe.
Please.
Don't be assholes.
But do fill your hot tub with champagne and don't forget, GP says shower after.
At least one. I just want to know what it feels like.
I know, me too.
Stay there. What's that about?
Bye.
Bye. We love you. Stay safe.